Well,
Last time it worked just
It
how
says
it
it's supposed
time.
To vibrate, but it didn't, and the light turned on.
Okay, I didn't notice the vibration, but the light.
Okay,
so Jennifer, we are a tree board meeting on April 15th. This is Heather Taylor.
Keith Roper.
Barbara Allen.
Michael Higgins.
Brian Plummer.
And we do have a quorum with the three board members here. Sarah Stetler will be entering late. We'll announce that when that happens. And Brandon said he's available by phone. Does somebody have enough juice? I don't have a lot of phone juice to call him.
Yeah, I can. What's his number?
Sarah says, I'm about to call somebody. Yeah, and then didn't Brandon say, I'll be calling in for it?
He did.
Huh.
Okay. But he probably doesn't know where to call. We need to call him.
Call Sarah and Keith.
Sarah just said she's on. Oh, here's Sarah.
Yep, that's great.
Hi, Sarah. This is Barbara.
Hey. Hi, Barbara.
Are you calling in for the meeting? Yes.
Hi, Brandon.
Yes.
Yes, I can be on speaker.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, we've got Sarah Stetler on speaker, and then once Brandon's on speaker, I'm going to have you say your name, Brandon, and then the AI will hear you.
There we go. Speaker. All right, Brandon, you're on.
Hello.
Okay, and then don't forget that when you make a comment, say your name to give it a chance. First, we're just going to talk about the minutes review. Brandon or Sarah, did either of you get a chance to take a look at those?
I did not.
Okay. I will move that we... Oh, no. I've got to make an amendment. Jennifer, I need to make an amendment to the minutes. It's a simple thing, and it is on... the tree voucher discussion, line 41 and 42. Here, I'll pull that down so you guys can see it too. And it's just saying that Barbara Allen prepared a list of voucher eligible homes totaling 10 vouchers across 4 houses. And that's true. And then it says with additional contributions from other board members. But I really wanted the total number to be in there more than just Barbara's number. I need to pull it up. Sorry. Just a second. I'm pretty sure it was 7 houses. I sent an email to everyone in this group of CCing you guys when I sent those addresses to Mark Marchant. 7 households and... ...19 vouchers. I think one of them already is a dud. We just can't get up with her, no matter what. But the other ones have a chance. So I just started to move into that as an agenda item, my mistake. We're just talking about the minutes. And so that's it. On the minutes, I move to approve the minutes as amended. Can anybody second that?
I'll second, Barbara.
Can you repeat what the amendment was, just real briefly?
Yes, it
total
was...
Total number of vouchers was...
Total vouchers was 19.
Thanks.
Across 7 houses.
Okay. Total vouchers 19 across 7 houses.
Thank you. That probably would have been helpful for our Jennifer, too. I just found something really important that I've been missing, but while looking for this pen, so that's great. Okay, and then let's start our meeting.
If we...
open it.
That vote.
Do we? All in favor to approve the minutes as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, who seconded it? Okay, Barbara seconded. Heather moved, Barbara seconded, and unanimous vote in the favor of. So, okay. Next, let me pull up our agenda here. Nope. I need to grab our internet. I usually just get automatically connected. Brian, do you know what the...
Go to your web browser, and then you'll have to accept the...
Just like pull up terms. A new...
Yeah,
like
pull up the tab.
No, I think I gotta go down here. It started to say auto-connect, right? Sorry, you guys. CD guest. No internet. All right, well, I don't want to make you wait, so let's just move forward. We don't have to have it up there. Okay, I've got it printed off right here. Oh, man. Okay, Arbor Day report. Michael, you were there longer. Actually, all of us were there. Everybody was there for that awesome March 28th tree planting. How are they looking? Oh, you weren't there.
They're looking good.
I was not there either.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. In my mind, you were. You guys, I'm so sorry. Okay. Keith and Brandon and Sarah and Heather were there on the tree planting day on March 28th with the Parks and Rec Department, the Parks Department, and the nonprofit Tree Utah. And so, Brandon says they're looking good. How do you feel about it, Michael?
I think they're looking great, too.
They look okay? Yeah. Are you guys, when I was there a week prior to do kind of like the site walkthrough with you, somebody had talked about seeing if you could get water a little earlier than everybody else's delayed water so that you could get watering. Is that going to happen?
Yeah.
Great. Do you have it all ready?
No, we had some issues with some wiring, but I think they got it figured out, so I think we were ready to go. I don't think they've watered anything so far, but tomorrow we're supposed to get rain, so we're... I didn't want to hold them off until then.
Great.
See what happens with that.
That's great. Do you have any, you don't have to, but do you have any feedback as to, like, report as to how it went or how it felt from the Parks Department side? You haven't heard?
I think it went well. I think it from what I heard, it went smoothly. With that, the Tree Utah had the volunteers all in order. And
yeah. It seemed quite well organized, considering that this was their first time trying to allow little children to come, and they were specifically chosen. Like, this wasn't just and little kids can come, but the nonprofit. I'm sorry, not the nonprofit. The bank, mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs, mm-hmm. who brought a lot of the volunteers. They were selected. They try to put their volunteers in. They try to do their activities in groups of people who have similar life experiences. And so this was the group of people who have kids 5 and under. And when I got there and figured that out, I thought, oh, this could be crazy, but it was fine. My guess is it took longer than they've had it take in the past because of that. People were chasing little kids around and they were trying to get little kids to help. But we ended up just taking the three trees next to the pickleball court and doing them with us. So we weren't seeing exactly how it was going for the people with the little kids. But the groups we saw, it looked like they were going really great. It seemed like the first groups got them done really fast, and then there were these long, 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 forever stretched out groups. And we got some really hard clay compacted soil over there by the pickleball courts. That was probably the worst soil I've ever put a tree in before. So I really tried to like hack the edges to give it a shot at breaking into there. But I thought, let's hope that when rain comes, this softens up.
Right.
But that was rough. I mean, the first couple inches, you didn't know it until it was hard, but it wasn't full of clay. And the clay was like asphalt. You felt like you were pulling out asphalt, like just these striated chunks that look like a book, and they'd come out and you'd think, oh, gosh. So, fingers crossed for those.
Sure.
Okay, looks like, is that a text from Sarah?
Picture from yesterday, she says.
Oh.
Heather, Sarah,
so
and
Sarah named the trees, our three trees, and she joked that one of them was going to be named Heather, and one was going to be named Sarah, and one was going to be named Keith, Brandon. But then Brandon showed up, so then she said, well, then it'll be called Crandon, and I said, that's a terrible name, and she just sent this hilarious text, Sarah, that says, picture from yesterday, Heather, Sarah, and Crandon are looking good. goodness Keith and Brandon had the back strength and the arm strength because they did all of the pickaxing. And that,
well, we had that fireman helping us.
Oh, we joked and prodded and sweet talked the fireman who was playing pickleball into helping us. Oh, you guys, I couldn't have done it. My back was a mess. But anyway, so I think it seemed like a really awesome, successful day. I tried to get some good pictures, but fortunately, even better than that, I made friends with the guy who had the nice camera, and I got his number, and then we'll just get them from him, and we'll use those for our 4th of July setup. So let me grab back to our agenda. So that was the Arbor Day report. Something I want to talk about is where we left off last time with our Arbor Day initiative was two things about two more initiatives about trees. One of them being the working towards 250 trees being planted in the city limits, and we've got 32 in the ground now at Community Park. And Bruce said he's going to plant a fruit tree in his yard this year, so he will be at 33. And if we can get, let's say 15, if we could get 17 of those 19 vouchers actually planted, which I do think actually will be quite a challenge, because when I ran back to talk to a few of them to make sure I had all their info before I sent it along to Mark, one of them I thought, Where are you going to put three trees in this yard? I'm really struggling to see where you'd have room. The guy had room in his park strip, and then they're gone from there, and he had room in the first 10 feet, and that's not allowed for a tree voucher. And then everything else, I thought, I don't know where you're going to put it. But so I do think 17 would be hard. But if we followed up with all 17 of those people, then we would be at 50 out of our 250. Which is very exciting to me, because 250 feels real far away, but 50 out of 250 means we're a fifth of the way there.
I would say that's a big accomplishment.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I would like to ask the tree board, do you guys feel like you can add it to your schedules that we go follow up with these people and say, hey, because I know they've received their email now.
Have they? How they got the voucher? It's through email.
Yep, they got the voucher through email. And in fact, Mark Marchant did it the very next day. So I feel like sometimes I need to point out that positive, that he did it the very next day as soon as we emailed it to him. He's actually been very quick at emailing me back when I've asked him about this. And we have now a lot of them their phone numbers too, so we wouldn't have to stop by their house to follow up with them. Some of them are harder to get a hold of than others, we've got two up on Peachtree, and then we've got some along 400, and then we've got Brandon. I'll call him Dave Matthews, but what's his real name?
Last name is Assay.
Assay, yeah, he's like. Oh, I'm forgetting his name right now. But anyway, nice guy.
Hey, Galen.
There we go. Galen and Michelle. Anyway, so we could divide those up. But before people commit to that yes or no, let's keep talking about all the things that we could sign up for initiatives towards Arbor Day / July 4th. And that would be last time where we left things. Sarah was going to look into creating a signage or a ribbon or something using our budget that we would give to people who volunteer to plant a tree in their yard. And one of the things that I talked about with Sarah outside of this meeting was we could have a sign printed that maybe you stake into your yard or something, or you wrap it around the tree with a ribbon or in some way. But we were saying, but if the tree's in the backyard, then a stake would be out front where people could see it. And then we could just leave a blank, tree number blank out of 250. And then we could use vinyl and push on, or a nice looking Sharpie or something. But in the meantime, and Sarah, I'm going to come to you in just a second after I tell them about the brick thing for you to give us your opinion or let us know if you've made any headway on that. But Idea Man Bruce Cox said, what about getting a brick put in the soil near the tree that says tree number blank blank out of 250 for the anniversary? The which I thought was a really cool idea because he's done it before with other trees, but he said it would cost like, Sarah, do you remember, was it $8 a brick, 12?
I think it was more like 15, it was in the teens.
Okay, then I think it was 12, even though that's not really in the teens, but I was thinking it was either 8 or 12, and I thought, oh, not a chance, we don't have that kind of budget, not even close, but he felt, Bruce felt, like he did have that in his budget to help us with it, and that even if we needed to cut the bricks in half, but I was like, I don't know, that's starting to feel kind of sad.
A lot of times people will pay for a brick for their own, like if it's something that commemorates,
okay,
they may donate.
That's a nice idea that maybe they might be willing to buy their own brick. So, Sarah, that was your action item, so I just want to hear if you have any thoughts on that.
Right. I haven't had much time to work on that, but I do have a connection with a girl in my neighborhood who can get us 40% off of signs printing services, and we can get them really quickly, like same week, a few days turnaround. So I was thinking we could utilize that, and it would be pretty inexpensive to do the signs. I think I'd love to do the signs, and then the brick, I really love that idea. I love something that's kind of permanent, and then a ribbon. I really like the idea of a ribbon, too, because people can see that, and it's a temporary thing, but the brick is a more permanent thing, which is really meaningful, I think. So that's as far as I've really gotten on it. I apologize about that, but, yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Okay, so anybody else in the room have an opinion about where to put our energy or our dollars on that? Signs versus bricks versus ribbon? I mean, all of the above. I don't know how that could be an option. Let's see. So, Sarah, how about you follow up with the woman in your neighborhood to get a price? I think it would work fine. Does anybody have a problem with if it's a lot cheaper? I've seen, you know, the typical candidate running for election sign split in half so that it's vertical, and it's probably, I mean, do you know how what the size of those candidate election signs are? I know, but do you know a measurement on that? I would guess that's 2 feet wide, so I'm talking 1 foot wide now by probably 17 inches tall, something. Yeah. We're probably talking something like 12 by 15 or 12 by 17. Do people feel like that's too small? No. So for reference, that would be real close to this. And see, I think that's fine. I think the size of a full election sign is maybe bigger than somebody would want.
Yeah, you were right. 18 by 24 is a typical candidate political yard sign.
Okay, so then it would be 18 by 12. So then that actually would be taller than this. I can't. So add 2 inches. Looks like that. Yeah, so Sarah, will you talk to the woman in your neighborhood about doing a sign that is about 12 by 18 vertical?
Do they have this?
Yes.
They do, because I had one that size and I could still use the stake in it.
Okay, very good.
But yeah, it is important that it could use that H looking, capital H looking metal stake that goes into it. Now, one of the problems with those, as you guys probably know, is that you can pull it out of your yard once to mow it and then you put it back in, but once you put it back in 2 to 4 times, you break it. So that's definitely a temporary thing, and then the brick is a permanent thing, and then
the
ribbon
goes. How would the brick be used? Would you?
Planted, yeah, and so if the tree's in the backyard.
Well, if it's even, a brick gets buried by dirt over time. It will, unless you have a purposeful type of bricks
blocks
together. Mm. And I would think that you might lose a brick.
Okay.
When he references the bricks that people use, I think that they are actually have a cement border that's probably 3 inches on each side.
Oh.
And so it makes it a little more significant, less easy to lose.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
also would
Then I vote let's scrap the brick.
Yeah, it would give it up the price significantly.
And that being said, that would, you know, they did the Veterans Memorial over in Bountiful, and veterans could purchase their own brick to place there.
So we could offer it as an option to do that. Yeah.
Get a commemorative brick.
Yeah.
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 And
you're writing the letter. Oh wait, no, that's the different letter. That's the you've been nominated letter.
Oh.
Okay. Brandon and Sarah, what are your thoughts? My vote is we either scrap the brick or we offer people to buy their own brick. Even that, I'm not sure I want to be in charge of making happen. But
facilitating that would require, I think, somebody to manage the order list, the money and coming in. So that does pose some work.
Yeah. So yeah, Michael just said that's a big challenge.
I think we should have somewhat of a focus group on if people are willing to put forth the money for the brick. My gut says if we're asking them to buy this, you might get some weird, like, you want me to pay money for this to pay for your project? Like,
if it was a really cool brick, it's got to be really cool.
I think we should ask around to get people's opinion on that.
Okay. Sarah, any thoughts from you?
I don't know. I think if we give them an option but no pressure, that's not as big of a
that's
deal.
Different.
I guess it's a matter of if it's convenient or not and who's going to have to do all the work, like I think Brian said. So, I don't know. I'm torn. Whatever. I mean, if we just want to do it simply this year and maybe we can do a brick for less amount of trees next year, I don't know.
Yeah. To me, it makes more sense to do it on the year of the 250, but yeah, thinking through the cost or the asking or the not concrete and then who's going to manage that, and Michael's been our purchaser, makes me turn real cold on the idea. So I lean away, and then if everyone else could just maybe clarify, like, Brandon, do you really want to ask around and get a focus group going? Keith, what was your opinion on it?
Sixes.
Okay. Keith's sixes. You gotta speak loudly enough for them to hear you. Can you guys hear him?
I heard him.
Okay, great. You have better speakers than I do. Okay.
What if you just offered 250 bricks and then people would want bricks?
Because they know that there's...
Because that would be only a finite amount of bricks. And then you actually put them in a... Maybe Bruce has an idea, and I bet he does, of what he would think of, but maybe put all the bricks together, like what they've kind of done with other places, like a memorial, or and kind of have a border around one tree, and everybody else.
Oh, yeah, right, where you walk up on it, and there's your name among everybody else's names. I see what you're saying.
And so it's more of a memorial type of, instead of everybody has a brick somewhere all over. But
where would that be?
That would be the focus. Where would that be? And it would be community park, I would imagine, somewhere.
Yeah.
Can you find another place in community park?
And do we stick them in the ground blank, and then we have to pull them back out to replace them?
That's what they did at the Veterans Memorial.
Really?
They didn't. Not everybody purchased right away. I mean, so it was
Did they come and engrave it there, or do they pull it out?
You know, that's actually a good question, but there is somebody that does that.
I feel like, Brian, your suggestion... Oh, yeah, you should have said your name.
Brian.
Yeah, that was Brian's suggestion. This is Heather. I feel like Brian's suggestion just took it from, I don't want to do it, to, it could totally work. And then I'm thinking, we have so limited effort, energy, to spend on this little board.
So getting somebody, like if Bruce did have an idea like this, or if he was thinking something in those, he brought up the brick, and he's got good ideas. So maybe he has some sort of idea like that. I think it would be important to hear from Bruce
okay.
and see what bricks.
I think the idea came from So he's had a lot of people who have wanted to put a tree in to vitalize a person. The tree
I've seen
was,
one of those.
The tree was not quite enough for most of those families, and so the brick idea came after that. Like, hey, this is in memorial of this person.
Interesting, okay.
So yeah. I think that's where the brick idea comes from.
Yeah.
I see.
I don't know if you would have thought through the whole the grand scheme of all those bricks. Because every single one of those bricks has, like I said, that piece of...
Yeah.
And it's at the base of each tree. So I don't... I mean, it's...
So it's more like a headstone.
Yeah. Because there's one down by the Public Works building that I've seen. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, there's so many of them too. There's some at Smoot, there's some at Found or Smith Park. There's
That's actually an interesting thought too. But it is what you have said.
Yeah, people might be more willing to plant a tree if we encourage them to think of someone they might want to memorialize with a tree.
Yeah.
Or for your future grandchild, and then put for my the future grandchild of blah, 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 to be here in 250 years, you know? Mm. Michael, will you please just round back with Bruce and just tell him how this discussion went? And if he's like, no, I totally have some great in and it's easy, will you let us know if that's his feedback?
I'll talk to him and see what his idea was. And
see if there's anything we're not catching in this conversation. Thank you. Okay, anybody else want to talk about that Arbor Day? So Sarah's going to move forward on the signs and ribbon, and Michael's going to check in on bricks with Bruce, and then that's it for the, but then does everybody have an address ready to go that we could, I'm switching from the 250 trees to the, you have a beautiful tree. You've been nominated for a beautiful tree. And does everybody have an address ready to offer? You don't have to tell it to me right now. We'll just send it via email. But is everybody up for that? Because I was going to choose one of those Blue Atlas cedars that somebody else put in the text as well. And I probably would have chosen the one that is right by Keith. But there's another one at the top of Parrish that's gorgeous. But I have popped out and taken pictures of a couple of amazing trees. But does everybody have one?
Yes, I have one.
Address.
Yeah,
like I have a tree, but I don't have the address.
Okay. Okay, so let's email, and if you have two, I think that would be fine, right? We said we wanted something up to 10. So if somebody has two trees, that'd be great. How about after this meeting, in the next 2 days, everybody email the group your address, and then Keith, would you be willing to compile those all into one? And then you're still working on the letter, right? The you've been nominated letter. And it'd be nice if you could catch the tree at its pretty time. Like, I've got a neighbor's tree that I'm waiting to nominate until the leaves are all on it. I've got, there's up at the top on 400 West, there's a big old ginkgo that when it turns yellow in the fall is unbelievable. And that is, I said 400 West, it's at 400 East, right at the top of my street, so just north of Parrish, by London and Linda Loma. It's gorgeous. Anyway, and I've got a neighbor that has another one that's pretty. So right now I'm trying to catch like the blossom trees if I can. So I have a couple in mind. But I can't remember, who was it that put in, Barbara, it was you, that put in that Blue Atlas and that one that I thought
Magnolia.
Was Rose and Sharon. Yeah, Magnolia, thank you.
Yeah,
that's gorgeous. Do that one. Anyway, okay. Whatever
who
you choose.
Who are we emailing these to? You?
Put them on the pre-board.
Can we add everybody so it's easy to keep it all in one thread?
Yeah, yes.
I don't know who would start it, but...
Yeah, no, that would be fine. Sorry, I just didn't understand what you were saying right at first. It took me a second. Yes. somebody, whoever sends the first one, send it to everybody, and then we'll just get them all together in one place, and Keith's writing the letter, and then we need to get that out. How soon? What's the deadline on that? Because we were going to give them 60 days to nominate someone else and sort of pay it forward, and we were hoping to maybe get three rounds before July, and that would be pretty quick. Like, I think we need to do that in the next 1 to 2 weeks. Do you feel like you could get that letter ready in the next 1 to 2 weeks? Okay. So in the next 2 days, everybody send their address, and then we're waiting on you, Keith, as soon as you're ready, and then we're going to go for it, and we'll run over to their house. I have good news on that. I talked to Haley Turner. That was one of my action items. To ask her, once we nominate these people, how could they nominate the next person? And she had great ideas for how we could put that on the website on our tree board page. So I'll get you that info, and you can put it in the letter. And but we could, she said we could even have a place there where they could submit photos if they chose to, and then if they didn't, they could give us the address, and we could run out and get a photo. And she said, what else did she say? It was all good news. It was all just, and she didn't seem at all concerned about getting that on there. And I think that'll be great. I like that much better than them having to call the city hall or calling one of us on the tree board. So going to our
website,
on the right place, and then just submitting a name there sounds awesome. Anything else on the beautiful tree nomination? No. Okay. I would like to, in the next 10 minutes, just put together, our urban tree guide and our action items from last time. I made Brandon fail on his because I was supposed to send him a list, our most current tree list, and then he was going to take it to USU Extension Services and get their feedback. So I will follow up on that in the next 2 days. And then, Barbara, what was you? You were going to do what?
I was going to research trees that do well in wet soils, which...
And then we basically got
Mike that from... probably already knows. Bruce knows.
Yeah.
But I did some research on several different EDU sites, and it was interesting to me that whether it was here in Utah, USU, or whether it was someplace else in the country, they all had basically the same list.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And I could send these to you, or I can just read them to you.
Yeah, read them to me.
So the first one on most lists was the bald cypress.
Yep.
Quite a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then river birch was a big one, and a red maple, weeping willow.
Okay, one thing I know about river birch, maybe Michael or Brandon, if you guys could jump in on this. River birch is the the layperson name, and there is some confusion as to what horticultural name river birch is actually referring to.
This is Betula nigra.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's the one I have in my yard. But if you say river birch at a nursery, sometimes they'll take you to other trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Red maple is Acer rubrum.
Okay.
Or a weeping willow, Salix babylonica.
Would we recommend a weeping willow? The willows I'm familiar with can be really
messy.
If I remember correctly, our guideline discouraged against weeping willows.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Okay. I think also weeping willows don't tolerate wind.
I guess they're kind of weak.
Yeah,
they do.
I think they break
a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so take that one off.
Okay.
A swamp white oak.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was one recommended, and I think we might have even gotten one.
Some of those, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a black gum, I think we have.
Oh, I haven't heard the black gum.
Nissus sylvatica.
Okay.
No, I thought that was Community Park.
might be.
But I'm not aware of. Sure. And then the last one that is on most lists is, well, sweet gum. So, black gum or sweet gum. And a hackberry, which sounds like a bush to me, but.
Yeah, hackberry is gaining popularity for sure.
Kay.
There's one of them at Community Park. Seems a little slow growing, though.
Okay.
And
then there, I got some suggestions for shrubs for wet areas, if you're interested in any
of
that.
Yeah, I do want those.
So a button bush.
Well, that sounds cute.
Yeah. A silky dogwood. That sounds good, too. And a summer sweet clethra. C-L-E-T-H-R-A. And a winterberry.
Okay. Okay. Those are great.
That's what I got.
Are we confident that all these listed do well in northern Utah?
No, but USU's list was the same as Iowa State's, so.
Yeah. Just want to make sure.
Sarah's at the front door.
Should be unlocked.
Thanks. Sarah, see if it's unlocked.
The inside one isn't.
Okay, there we go. Okay, AI, Sarah Stettler is here in person. I'll bet you don't care. Because they're just here either on the phone or in person, so it's fine. So everybody's here in attendance. Okay, so did you look, will you, I'll just look. Would it bother you, Barbara, if I added any that came off of the list that I sent to the group that was from?
Doesn't bother me at all.
Michael and, was his name Eric? Eric, right? From Utah. So he also had a fruitless mulberry, that one particular type of box elder, a catalpa, and then an American elm and an American something else. But I've got it somewhere on there. American linden. Any concerns about those, Brandon or Michael?
Did you say elm?
Yeah, American elm.
Likes wet soil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a big fan, personally, of elm, but...
Okay.
I was thinking the same about linden, but, you know, we all have our preferences.
Oh, I like linden.
Brandon, of all the elm, or American in particular, do you know?
Most elm trees I'm not a fan of. They're kind of... They're definitely hardy, but they're kind of garbage trees, so.
Okay. Okay, so I will put this list together, and Brandon, when you take the other list at USU Extensions, will you also take them this list?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I'm looking back at last month's to see what else we were going to do on that. So our urban forestry guide is going to include Brandon, tree care document, the tree list that I have that's been worked on for a long time will go to USU to get screened once, and then we will have like a separate subsection of just the wetland trees. And I'm going to include I'm still working on it. It's a long document. I'm trying to make it shorter right now, of the benefits of trees. And then our two paragraphs that we've written together as a group will probably go in the top of that as like an intro. And then I think that's it. I think that's it.
What's this document that's going to be called?
We think we're just going to call it the Urban Forestry Guide,
mm-hmm.
unless you have something pizzazzy. That's what Farmington calls theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It was recommended to me by Mike Eggett to call it our, administrative guide.
Mm.
But I felt like I had to keep explaining to people what that meant.
Mm.
And then what its purpose is that we hope that our city planner, our staff, our city council will encourage any developer that they're working with as we move forward to take a look at this. And but it doesn't have any administrative weight. It's a nice suggestion.
So I've been kind of watching other committees, and obviously the Parks and Rec are developing a document right now. The council is doing the master general plan document. And so I was thinking a lot for this group here, and, you know, we've talked about incorporating language and things like that into the general plan, but the more I get feedback from others, if you had your own document and we were able to reference that in the general plan, that would do what you're, I think, aiming to do, which is have developers take that into consideration, look at, okay, they've done the research for wetland trees or for, and we just passed last council the WaterWise initiative, essentially, where we're really going to be starting to focus on
park strips.
Park strips are now developed different. Yes, they are different now.
Yeah.
And are encouraged to have different drought tolerant types of plants, and trees can be those.
Yeah, and I have at least, I mean, out of my head, a good starter of drought tolerant plants too, that maybe we could encourage people to put in their park strips instead of just rocks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so for anybody who didn't hear, last city council meeting, they passed an ordinance that says... It's like a, almost like a... It wasn't considered zoning, but it was...
It's a change to a policy of in regards to parking strips.
Yeah, that they, you can't put grass in them now, you're putting in drought tolerant things with drip line or a xeriscape, and that all the others are grandfathered the way they are, but new yards would have drought tolerant.
That's true, but I think that we would encourage people to follow that plan. So if you were to want to redevelop your or landscape, you would want to do it this way.
My understanding was there wasn't any, like, you have to, but we'd be encouraged to.
Not at this time, but you will have to if you do certain things, as far as if you took a permit out to work on your home, if your home was raised and you built a new home, those types of things would trigger the ordinance that would say you have to now do it this way.
I gave a suggestion to Gina Hirsch that I'll give to you too, which is consider offering almost like a park strip voucher to, and then limit them like to the first one in this neighborhood or to the first one in this area that you get $300 towards your park strip. And that way you get one good one in each neighborhood that everybody can see as an example. I was that one in my neighborhood for a while, but I've done so much. Mine got pretty hacked up with the streets plan, and I've never recovered it yet. But I do feel like I got a lot of people coming to me and saying, this is really pretty, what did you do here? And I just wouldn't want to deal with the weeding. And I'm like, oh, it's actually not that much weeding, let me tell you. And then they ripped theirs out, but a lot of them ripped theirs out and put in rocks, and then they came back later and said, I wish I wouldn't have done it. So
rocks have been, I think that is the regret many of I have feedback from.
I love that they took it out.
I just gotta say, I like my rocks.
Yeah,
I like rocks.
Yeah,
I think rocks are pretty.
Yeah,
I love rocks too. It's, I think what Heather said is that if you don't do it right, though,
if you don't maintain
rocks, they look terrible.
You have to maintain. And I think also, like, it does add, like I don't love it when people put in, like, orange rocks that don't seem natural.
When their house is
native.
Red.
When they're, when, or even native to the area. If it matches their house, that's fine.
Yeah, but if like, it doesn't match their house and it doesn't match native to the area, and then sometimes you've got three houses in a row that all got rocks, but their rocks are different than their rocks there. And I'm like,
but
you guys
know what? That's personal.
Work together.
People certainly should be able to do their.
Of course they can.
Rocks,
and I
the
just
way
don't
they
like
want.
It.
Yeah. Just, yes, but
I'm with you on that, Heather.
Yeah. But I also do. It does start to make things feel hot and deserty. And I like foliage when we can have. I think that people think there are only two options, grass or rocks. Mm-hmm. I have had a lot of people who, if you say, what if you flip your strip? They say, oh, I don't like rocks. And you're like, that is not the only option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they think, and if they, if you say drought tolerant, they go, oh, I don't like that zero scaping.
Yeah.
And so they,
zero scaping.
Yeah. Which, yeah. So you can tell. That, so I think that's my energy, is that I'm really trying to say, there's a door number three here if you want it. And
yeah.
And I have been surprised how many people don't even know it exists.
I put a couple of planters in my, because I put rocks down.
Yeah.
But I put some very water, you know, heat tolerant, drought tolerant plants in my park strip. I think it looks great.
In the planters?
And I've got, not in the planters. Those are for my annuals.
Okay.
I put annuals in my planters and then perennials in the rock.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good.
I think it
looks good.
Yeah.
I put
What's
a couple.
Your address? I want to drive by.
Yeah,
you should. It looks really good right now. That scared me. Anyway, yeah, it looks really good right now because it's all green.
Mm-hmm.
But like I planned it so that something's always in bloom with my perennials. And so there's always a pretty thing in there.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. To reply to your comment, Brian, about the tree board having a separate document, that was what was suggested to me from a conversation with Mike Eggett. And then the board decided, yeah, we like that, but we wanted a little more. And
mm-hmm.
we tried to find places. And I will tell you guys, so thank you for saying what you said, because it makes me feel less scared to say this. I will tell you guys that I reread the general plan again. And it is a little different than the last time we read it. Like, you can see that changes have actually gone in and been made. But even though Keith had all these suggestions of where we could put our stuff, I went through and reread it, scouring for it, and I would think, this spot I might be able to, this spot, and every time I get in there and think, nope, it doesn't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually do feel like I'm leaning towards, let's just really put our energy into a really good urban guide. But what Mike had pointed out to me is that it wouldn't carry any like legislative weight in the way that the general plan does. And so I would really like some support from the city council of trying to give it some sort of legislative weight. And so at least getting the sentence in of like developers will, see the tree board's urban guide to guide their efforts in their development of Centerville City. You know, something like that. Even if they don't say you must, but like you will take a look at it. Mm-hmm. I would really appreciate that.
I hear you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so that back to the previous question, and then we're out of here. We're out of here at 9:05 in a minute and a half.
Sure.
Back to the previous question. Is anybody willing in the next month or less, probably, to follow up with the tree voucher homes and say, hey, did you check your email? You've been sent it. Do you want my help? Here's my number. Call me if you need planting help or advice. I am willing to be one of those people. Anybody else? We could use your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sarah is?
So yeah, put me down.
Yeah, I can reach out to the SAYS.
Okay, great. So Brandon is going to take the Essay family. Sarah, will you take those two houses on Peachtree?
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with the one next to Carl.
Right.
I can't get her to answer, but maybe between us. But the phone number that Carl gave me as a guest is not her number.
Okay.
Her name's Nancy. Anyway, so Sarah's going to take those two. Sarah, the two on Peachtree. Brandon, you take Essay. Okay, so I'll just split these up when I get home. Barbara, are you up for any of that?
Well, I've got a A couple, well, I've got one lady who specifically asked for help
because awesome.
Her husband is military.
Okay.
So she can't do it.
Yeah.
And I did leave her my name and number and said, when you get your tree, call me. And
okay.
We'll get somebody to put it in the ground. But
okay.
I don't know that that'll happen anytime soon that
right,
she goes
right.
out and gets the trees.
So. Yeah. But maybe could you, like, call her and say, hey, did you see that you got the email? Do you have that voucher? Do you need any recommendations? Because I, and anybody who signs up for this, you're not on your own. Let the group know. And, you know, Brandon could help them with tree selection. I could help with planting, you know, and so on. But just be the contact person with these voucher homes. Keith, are you up for any of that?
I my page with the address okay. and the emails.
Yes, you did. And then I sent it via email to everybody, so we should all have all of those names.
Okay.
But I can check again.
Yeah.
And I probably threw that paper away. If looking at it is going to help you, but I have all of the info is on okay. that email. Okay, so Keith will too. Okay, so I will go home and just split that list up. That's it. We're done.
I have one quick thing.
Yeah.
I'll be quick. I promise. As I was doing research on the urban forestry guide, specifically Farmington's, I noticed that they had tree-lined streets program. And I won't go through it right now, but it's on their website. If you go to farmington.utah.gov and click on the urban forestry, very interesting program for park strip trees. It's really self-explanatory there. Something we could talk about at a later date, but something worth looking at. Tree-lined streets program
cool.
for Farmington.
Yeah, thanks. I do feel like to combine with that conversation, we have it in our ordinances that any new multifamily dwelling is required to have a certain number of park strip trees. In like we need to recognize that the city has some what do you call it when you're countering yourself, mm-hmm. right? Some inconsistencies. If we're trying to discourage park strip trees and yet we have it in an ordinance that you're required to plant park strip trees and we don't also have it required that it has to be a certain width, right? Mm-hmm. So
I think that is something we would have to look at. I think that the width is actually going to be required to be larger in future.
That would be so great. Yeah.
So that
you mean even if it's like residential but developed by a company?
Commercial as in multifamily.
Okay.
Now single family is a
yeah.
another.
Okay, see
story,
that would be
so.
Awesome. That would be my preference is yes, park strip trees just with enough space to be good for them. So that'd be cool. It's not in the general plan that so
I'm going to have to go back and reread our the ordinance that we just did because, in fact, as we move forward with the park strips, that is going to be, that is there. How this is going to move forward for commercial developments and what is going to be required as far as turf and how much turf you can put in.
Mm.
And if you can't put in, you're not going to be able to just turf the entire property anymore. That is not going to happen. So now you're going to have a certain percentage of turf. And then, so what does that mean for trees? Where do you put them? Do you put them where the turf is, on the border of your turf, or
yeah.
in the
And
airspace?
That's a place where education would be so great because
exactly.
trees don't, it's not great for trees to be in the turf. Because they don't like being watered the same way, especially in an area where you have high winds. So we need to, but a lot of people think that's the best place for a tree. You know, it does put nice shade over your grass. But anyway, that would be so great if we could get in there. I was just at a field trip for the Weber Water Basin where they do, you know, all the examples of flip your strip and stuff. And I loved the way she so quickly said what I've been trying to teach people for a long time because it's in it's not my idea, it's a lot of people's idea, but she said, we've been using grass like room-to-room carpeting, and we need to use it like an area rug. And I was like, boom, that's how you say it. That was so smart. And anyway, that was really smart the way she said that. Okay.
One more thing, 12 by 18 signs. I'm pricing it out right now.
Oh, you're amazing.
40% off of this is going to be for two. If we got 250 signs, I know we're not going to, but if we were to get 250 signs with a stake, it would be like $500.
We have $500
to spend
with no ribbon. So let's get.
I could donate the ribbon.
Let's get 150 or so. I mean, let's really decide before you just go for it. But
how many do you think? 200
signs.
Does the price go up if you get fewer?
Yeah, let's find that out. Find out where the break is, and let's get, well, I would say the minimum needed to get the break, but as soon as June comes, if we haven't spent our budget, then we hurry and buy the rest of them.
Okay.
Fair enough. So that's great.
Yeah, I'll move some things
with
around.
With the stake, I mean, I think that's really great. Her 40% off is it, because sometimes the stakes alone are $2.
Mm-hmm. There's a heavy duty stake. I'm not sure how much those cost.
Those are awesome.
So we'll see. I'll do that price
something
too.
We could do, this is work, but I know Gina did this when she ran for office, is I think her dad toughened up her stakes. Like he just did a little soldering on the corners.
Oh.
And it really made a big difference.
Interesting.
And it, you know, if we're only doing 150, maybe it's not too much to ask someone to give us a little soldering help. If it,
my husband has, I think, a soldering gun. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He probably loves using it.
So. Yeah, he probably would.
Thank you, everybody. Could somebody motion to adjourn this meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, Sarah Stetler motions to adjourn.
Kate, you got a second.
I did that. I'll second.
Okay, Keith Roper motions to second. And we don't have to vote, do we?
All in favor?
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
We did it.
Okay.
It's unanimous.
Man.
Thanks, AI, for the minutes.
We're going to get there.